Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Welcome back. How's your day starting out? We're almost midweek. Yes, which means we're that much closer to Thanksgiving Day. I know some of you might be thinking, come on now. That's quite a ways out. It is, but think about how fast time is moving. Thanksgiving will be here before we know it. So that means the end of the year will be here before we know it. We'll be hitting some of these last holidays, and next thing you know, we'll be bringing in another new year. So kind of be getting in mind some thoughts for what you'd like to do, some attitudes, some new behaviors, something that you'd like to do as you bring in a new year. Now, that may not necessarily mean trying to come up with something totally different from what you've been doing. It may be a matter of thinking about what you've been doing this year that you said was going to be part of your life's mix, part of your life's equation at the start of this year. And you've been working on some of that. But maybe you just haven't made the kind of progress that you'd like to have made. Maybe as you think about what you want to do in the new year, be thinking of some ways, specific ways, to step up your game in those areas where you've been making some progress, but you want to make more progress, maybe much more progress. Just be thinking about it. But again, don't think generally. Think very specifically. Come up with specific steps that you'll take to help you take what you're doing to the next level, maybe to the second level higher than where you are, maybe the third level. But you have time. We're in the month of August. Like I say now, the end of the year will be here before we know it. And that's why I'm, you know, proposing that we begin thinking about it now. We can kind of bide our time, take our time, relax as we think through these things and take some notes as we go. But you think about it, with all that you have on your plate, with all that you have going on in your lives, school, work, family, your religious life, your civic responsibility, some of you. So many things that consume time. And remember, in the mix of all of that, we need some time set aside to play. We need some time set aside to rest. And as I've shared with you before, playing and resting are not necessarily the same thing. Anyone who has been on a vacation where where they went about the business of getting up at 7:30 in the morning, pushing hard to get in as much entertainment as they could up until 10 o'clock at night, and did that for 5 or 6 nights in a row. Up early, pushing hard all day, all evening, finally laying down at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. Getting up at 7:30, 8 o'clock the next day and doing it all over again. Anyone who's done that for 5 or 6 days can tell you, you need to rest from playing. So playing and resting are not the same thing. And we need to have work, play, and rest, all three as part of our life's equation. That's how we be our most productive. That's how we be our best, by putting all three of those into our equation. All right, so be thinking about it. Now, let's, in the meantime, get busy. As we resume our discussion that Medical News Today is helping us with on taking a look at our brain on religion. Did any of you give any thought to how your brains were working since we last talked about this, particularly when it comes to the religious connection, prayer, and how it impacts the brain? Study, religious study in particular. I'm not talking about studying economics or studying biology. I'm talking about religious study. Opening those books, that studies impact on the brain. Meditation, and its impact on the brain. You know, sometimes it can be so easy to kind of not really notice when something is having, let's say, a positive impact on us. For example, I know a lot of times when I'm taking my multivitamins, I'll be honest with you, I just don't notice the positive change in my body while I'm taking the multivitamins. When I notice a change is when, for whatever the reason, I've gone 2, 3, 4 weeks without taking my multivitamin. I keep forgetting to buy more because I've run out, and I keep forgetting to buy more. And the only time I think about it is when it's time to take it and it's not in the cabinet. And I'm thinking about it, but not when I'm at the grocery store. And I have to remember, okay, put that on the list. You know, you've done something for so long, you know, every day you're doing this, and you think, oh, I don't need to write that down. I remember that. I do that all the time. And then it's time to do it, time to remember it, time to recall it, and you don't. You forget it. That's what I do. And I begin to notice somewhere along the way, my body doesn't feel quite right. My body's just not feeling quite right. And I start trying to figure out, now what have I been doing differently? It's causing me to feel less energized, or whatever it is that I'm noticing doesn't feel good. And then I remember, my multivitamins. And then I'll remember, I get my multivitamins back into the mouth. I'm taking my multivitamins every day. And I'm telling you now, I do not notice the change, the positive change that takes place in my body. It takes place, but I don't notice it. The only difference I notice is when my body stops feeling good. You know, when that energy is not there, something is missing. That's when I notice. But when the vitamin is doing its thing, I don't notice the change. It's gradual. It's consistent. And it just happens. It is there. It's doing its thing. Now, I mention that because I know that there are a lot of you who have been meditating for years, who have been praying for years, who have been having your study sessions for years. And you may, because you've been doing this for so long, you may not truly notice on a conscious level the positive impact on your brain, on you, as a result of the prayer, the meditation, the studying. And a lot of us definitely don't necessarily equate prayer with having an impact on the brain. Now, what do you suppose would happen, though, if for whatever reason you went 2 months without praying? You know, I've heard people talk about how when they go for days, don't even have to go months, go for days without studying, go days without praying. And after this has become part of their lifestyle now, this is what they do. They pray, they study, they meditate. Something comes up. Maybe they get super busy between school and work and other responsibilities. Family. We've got to take care of family. All that they have going on in their lives, prayer time takes a hit, study time takes a hit, meditation time takes a hit, and they greatly reduce the amount of time that they spend doing those things or cut it out altogether. How many of you have heard someone say, or you've experienced yourselves, an increase in irritability when you've gone for days without studying, without praying, without meditating? Yeah, that is an indication that what you were doing, your praying, your studying, your meditating, was having a positive impact on you, and specifically on your brain. Yep, on your brain. I'm not saying only on your brain. Some of you may recall, I've shared with you that I truly believe that we are spirit and body, or spirit, soul, and body, or just the immaterial part of us that we don't see, and the physical part of us, which we do see, including our brains. And we know that we have experts, professionals, who have been able to conduct tests where they were able to show a connection between religious activities or religious practices and activation of areas of the brain. And some people are moving so far now as to say religious experience is all in the brain. And some of you have heard me say, I don't agree with that. It's not all in the brain. Some of it, yes. But what about that immaterial part of us, that part of us that is not made from matter? Immaterial, not made from matter. Do we believe that there's a part of us that is not made from matter? I do. And I believe that part of us that is not made from matter is at the very least just as impacted by our religious activities as the physical part of us is. But because the immaterial part of us, the part of us that is not made from matter, can't be tested using devices, instruments that are made from matter, we're not able to draw any conclusions about what is happening with the immaterial part of us, the part of us that's not made from matter. But just because we don't know how to test the part of us that's not made from matter, that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. And number two, that does not mean it does not respond to religious practices. Yes, it could very well be that while the brain is being activated by religious activity, the immaterial part of us is being activated as well. It could also be that the immaterial part of us is being activated first, and the brain is responding to what's happening to the immaterial part of us. It could be that the brain and the immaterial part of us are being impacted at the exact same time. But one thing's for sure, this we do know. Our brains do respond to religious practices. We talked about some of those older studies, echo studies, that found that engaging in spiritual practices raises levels of serotonin, which is the happiness neurotransmitter. And not only do they raise levels of serotonin, but engaging in spiritual practices raises levels of endorphins. Endorphins, again, being those euphoria-inducing molecules that just help people really feel good. Some people will say feel high. And some people will talk about a natural high where endorphins are engaged, activated, without the use of drugs. Drug use can activate endorphins, but they can be activated without the use of drugs, without the presence of drugs. When we come back, let's continue this discussion. Take a look at what's been happening with the use of neuroimaging techniques and see again what they're saying about the brain and religion, your brain on religion.